Well, thank you. I'm so happy to be here this afternoon to talk to you about strengthening disaster injury epidemiology capacity in the country by presenting guidelines on potential response to national disasters. This presentation was created by my colleagues at the Safe States Alliance, the Disaster Epidemiology SIG. It was led by David Zane, who unfortunately was unable to attend APHA this year, so I am presenting on his behalf. I have no conflicts of interest to disclose, and I will be discussing learning objectives, the background for the program guidelines, one example, some conclusions, significance, and provide some contact information and acknowledgments in the course of this presentation. So we have two learning objectives this afternoon. I hope after this presentation you'll be able to articulate potential injury epidemiological responses to various types of disasters and to demonstrate how to use the guidelines to facilitate discussions with your public health professional colleagues and other partners on the possible role that injury epidemiologists play in disaster response. Every state and community in this country is at risk from one natural disaster or another. Think about the community where you live. What have been some of the disasters that you've encountered? Was it a flood or tornado, a winter storm? These natural disasters can cause many hardships for families and communities, but they're often preventable. Think about what we experienced in this country with Hurricane Sandy, the Alabama tornadoes, the recent flash floods in Texas. Injury epidemiologists at the territorial, state, regional, and local health departments are an integral part of preparedness for, response to, and recovery from disasters. However, injury epidemiologists may not fully appreciate the potential role that they can play in the disaster field. Thus, there's a need for the development of such guidelines that illustrate potential injury epidemiological responses to various disasters. Safe States Alliance is a national nonprofit organization and professional association whose mission is to strengthen the practice of injury and violence prevention. It currently has about 500 members and a number of different SIGs and activities. I've been in professional organizations for almost 35 years now, and I must say that Safe States does a whole lot with very few resources, and I'd encourage you to check out the organization. Within Safe States, there exists a disaster epidemiology special interest group, which focuses on this topic. This group developed these practical guidelines that I'm about to share with you in response to a variety of disasters. These guidelines provide a list of potential injury-related responses to six types of disasters: hurricane, flood, tornado, extreme heat, wildfire, and winter storm. And if you look down at the bottom of the slide and you're interested in the exact URL, it's www.safestates.org/disaster-epi-sig. So these guidelines identify injury epidemiological activities that might be conducted before, during, and after these disasters. These potential activities generally include identifying or enhancing current surveillance systems to monitor injuries among populations, using standardized injury data collection forms, mobilizing and training staff as well as volunteers to assist in data collection efforts, and preparing public health messages aimed at reducing injury, morbidity, and mortality, and finally preparing and disseminating injury-specific reports. So for the purposes of our discussion this afternoon, I wanted to provide you with an example of how this guide might be useful as it relates to floods. Here's a list of activities that injury epidemiologists might conduct before a flooding incident. Many of these activities are related to gaining situational awareness and leaning forward to respond. The first two activities, monitor weather for the possibility of conditions conducive to a flood event, and monitor river and lake levels would most likely involve working with your partners in the National Weather Service. Defining the geographic area of concern would be another activity. Is the risk of flood occurring in certain parts of the state, like coastal areas, or more in rural areas or in urban areas? The next setup activities really focus on the core of epidemiology. Identifying high-risk groups for flood event-related injury, children, the elderly, people with disabilities, the homeless. Identifying surveillance systems in the state for monitoring purposes, and establishing working relationships with organizations with the ability to rapidly identify flood-related injuries and deaths. These folks are your EMS community, the hospital emergency departments, your Office of the Medical Examiner. Developing and utilizing surveillance tools. And finally, developing criteria for identifying flood-related injuries such as drowning, electrocution, motor vehicle or boat crashes, hypothermia, fires and burns, animal bites and envenomations, and even intentional injuries such as attempted suicides and assault. So let's move into the next phase, where the flood has occurred, and examine the types of opportunities that exist for injury epidemiologists to contribute your expertise. Use data surveillance to take action where appropriate or in coordination with the incident command. For example, mortality surveillance on the number of deaths that occurred, the number of injuries being seen in the affected areas. Monitoring injuries that are indirect consequences, such as swimming or kayaking deaths or injuries in flooded waters. Continually monitoring and assessing the situation and maintaining open communication with other state organizations. And finally, preparing media announcements, public health messages aimed at reducing morbidity and mortality due to flooding, and alter your media messages as your conditions change. And then after a flood, there continues to be many activities for injury epidemiologists to be involved in. These include conducting community assessments to assess public health needs and recovery issues, setting a date for end of disaster surveillance and attempting to include post-event injuries, preparing injury-specific reports and publicizing their results, including an injury section in the state's after-action report, using results from the flood to update response plans, and finally, sharing the lessons learned with the National Public Health Preparedness and Injury Community at such places as APHN. So, in conclusion, I hope you have a better understanding that injury epidemiologists at the local, state, national, and territorial levels are an integral part of preparedness, response, and recovery to disasters. There are many, many opportunities to utilize your expertise in various phases of a natural disaster, and also to strengthen your capacity to work in your community. So I want to encourage injury epidemiologists to use these guidelines in a planning context to facilitate discussions with your public health preparedness colleagues about strengthening collaboration. I would encourage you to meet with them now, if you haven't already, to discuss how your expertise might help strengthen the disaster response capabilities of your agency. Here is my contact information, but more importantly, I'm providing you the contact information for David Zane. He's the chair of the Disaster Epidemiology SIG at Safe States Alliance and a disaster injury epidemiologist at the Texas Department of State Health Services. And finally, I want to acknowledge all the individuals who work so hard to develop these guidelines. Thank you very much.